What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm always glad to be here.
I know you are. I'm glad you're here too.
Aww,
I've missed you.
I'm glad you're
glad.
You know
what I mean? I've been off the show a long time. It's like a week and a half.
When's the last time we hosted the show together?
Oh, you and me. That's even longer ago.
That's even longer.
Yeah. It's been a while.
This is the OG combo that I like.
This is the one that really started this show. You know what I mean?
There's no one I don't like hosting with, but you know, this feels like the original and the best.
You know what I mean? That's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. Have you been good while I've been gone?
I've been good. You finally came over and had dinner in our house, and we entertained, and that was good.
We watched some Gordon Ramsay.
Cook some. Did you like that Gordon Ramsay show? I enjoyed it.
I did like that Gordon Ramsay show.
I love those shows where he goes in and finds like dead mice in the toaster. Like, what the fuck are you doing back here? What kind of operation are you running? I love those shows.
I love Gordon Ramsay. Yeah,
I like him when he shouts at people.
Yeah, you guys sent us the chicken recipe you made because it was that delicious.
Wasn't that chicken good?
That was great.
Sriracha chicken. Yeah. Oh my god, it's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
With the yogurt sauce.
You been playing anything?
Yeah, we finished Detroit Become Human last night.
Ooh, yeah, I saw this tweet. You got bad endings. You think?
I think we got the worst one.
What happened?
We're gonna go back and redo it.
Okay,
I think. Can I do spoiler chat?
I think so. Spoilers, Detroit. I mean, I'm not saying
if you're playing Detroit and you don't want to hear spoilers, I guess
skip the next
60 seconds or whatever. So, you know, this tracks. Have you played it?
Oh, yeah. I platinumed it, sir.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get a platinum?
Get a whole bunch of different endings and do a whole bunch of different
So you have to
choices.
Go back and replay
a bunch
of stuff.
Find all the magazines, do all that stuff.
Oh, geez. Oh, that's a lot. Okay. Yeah. So you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. So there are obviously a myriad. One of the things that's really impressive about that game is the flowcharts. You see how broad the storytelling trees are. I mean, there's so many things you can do. And I think we're going to go back and do some more because we missed a bunch. But certainly in terms of the ending, I think we got... And my wife and I were kind of co-playing it. Like, she was driving, but I would sometimes help with the choices.
Shout out the answers you
She'd
want.
She'd go, what do I do? And I would say, make a choice.
Shooter!
No, I'd say, make a choice.
Yeah.
Just not helpful at all.
Yeah.
But I think we got, it's got to be like in the bottom tier of endings, if not at least the worst possible one.
What happened?
Marcus detonated the dirty bomb.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah.
And basically, if you've played that ending, you know that essentially sparks an all-out war between androids and humans. That ain't good.
That's not, I mean, nobody wants that.
There's still a kind of a triumphant sense to it that they're going to fight for their freedom, but like, it ain't good. Connor freed the million androids.
Okay.
But his fate at the end of the story is kind of was kind of unknown.
He's essentially a deviant as well now.
He went deviant.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
We made the choice to go deviant. Does he always go deviant no matter what?
No, you can stay. You can stay part of the program. Yeah.
There was a good scene later in the android factory where Connor has to face down another Connor that's been sent after him.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
That was cool.
Where you grab him by the arm and you can take over his body.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to that, if you're playing.
No, we did
way.
A thing where the other Connor had Hank as a hostage and I had to decide if I was going to sacrifice Hank or save him. And it's a classic kind of moment. Then shoot me, I'm the real Connor. No, shoot him. And you've got to decide. You've got to figure out which one is the real Connor. And then the saddest one was possibly Kara and Alice. Kara and Alice made it across the river to the other side of the Canadian border, and then basically froze to death on the riverbank.
Oh no!
Did you get that ending? Have you played that ending?
My canon ending with them is that we got through there and we got into Canada and everything was happy and roses. But the ending I got for the bad one was Kara shot on the boat and bleeds out, but gets Alice across and
Alice Alice got shot on the boat.
Oh,
Kara. Got out the engine of the boat broke, and so she gets into the water and pushes it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get to the other side, and she's like, "Alice, we're free. We made it to Canada. Finally, we can be free." But Alice is basically dead in her arms, and then out of grief, she just shuts down. And the final shot is just them, kind of like a dead statue.
Maybe that is what I got. It's been a while since I played
it. It was a grim ending.
I can't imagine that.
And I know there are better endings than that. So we're going to go back and restore a set. I mean, I think the game once you played, the game encourages you to play all the way through once and not redo choices.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're showing you the flowchart and showing you all the stuff, they want you to go back.
Yeah.
So
now
that we've done it, I think we'll go back and restore some saves.
It's fun.
And try and find a better ending. Especially when you feel like you got a shitty ending, you want to go back and try and find a better one.
Of course, Well, there was the times in my canon playthrough, right, where it'd be like, I would script the button choice and I was like, ah.
Apparently what happens is if instead of detonating the dirty bomb, if you kiss North, this sounds kind of cheesy, but if you kiss North instead, the president sees that on TV and says, oh, they can love each other.
Sympathetic.
Let's free the androids.
You can also sing. which is also cheesy. Yeah. Now, my playthrough, I did the one choice that doesn't lead to that. And
I know
got shot
that. I know that. I know that the David Cage games aren't terribly popular, and there's some reasons why people don't like him, his games.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed Detroit, and yeah. I would say it hits its thematic notes with a fucking sledgehammer, but I enjoyed it.
Enjoyable.
It looks beautiful, totally. Looks gorgeous. There's just enough game to keep it interesting. And the fact that they kind of show their homework, they show you all the how much of the story is there.
Yeah.
And you can compare your choices to what other people did. I found it fascinating. I definitely would play it again.
Well, there you go. A ringing endorsement from one, Gary Whitta. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you are live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So at the end of the show, we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, please subscribe. And listening on podcast services around the globe, please rate and share. Housekeeping for you. Today's the day. Andrew was talking about this yesterday. There's a What's Good Games special live episode for the first time ever, Wednesday, August 8th at 6:30 p.m. You can catch it on twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames. You can catch it on youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. It's presented by PayPal. Hashtag level the playing field. She talked all about it yesterday. I caught the beginning of the show today. Also, there is the Tim and Kevin came in early to do the reactions to the live Smash Brothers reveal. We're going to talk about that at the top of the Roper Report. You can go watch those reactions up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on Polygon, they have a profile about my life and career up. You can go check it out, written by Colin Campbell, former colleague of mine, friend of yours.
Yeah, an old colleague and friend of mine as well for about 20 years, and he did a great job with that profile.
Incredibly, it's way longer. It's way more than I thought it was when he's like, I want to write about it. He's like, all right, cool. It's a very interesting,
unflinching piece. Were you at all worried when you clicked on it that it could have been like a hit piece or something? Or did you feel like you were confident in the way it was going to turn
out? I've known Colin Campbell long enough. And
yeah, Colin was not going to do that.
In the way that he's one of those few people that I put into the camp of like, okay, you understand journalism, right?
And
like,
he's a proper journalist.
I know a lot of people, like, he asked questions, obviously hard questions.
Yeah.
And I know people bristled at it when he would talk to them. And I'm like, but if I was on the other side, I'd ask those questions. Like, that's right. The whole thing of like, I remember he brings up a whole bunch of stories I haven't really talked about from my journalism career of being at the Daily Paper and talking to people.
I know, the thing about having to call up the guy bereaved families and stuff. Yeah, that was
exactly.
Terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So I know what it's like to ask the really, that's an insensitive question at a time when you're, but that's what the piece needs, and I understand what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I thought it came out good. Good read.
Yep. And then today we're brought to you by Third Love and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
Half a dozen.
Wow. Okay, you're gonna be literal today, huh? I like it, Kevin. I like your style, Kevin. I want you to fill me in if I miss anything here on the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate info dump, because today there was a Super Smash Brothers info dump.
So there was a big
Nintendo
dump this
Direct.
Morning?
Yeah, Nintendo Direct came out and did a bunch of stuff, right?
Okay.
So what they announced, I think the biggest story, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 new characters. They are Simon Belmont, Richter Belmont, King K. Rool, Crom, and Dark Samus. Now, what's exciting about this, of course, Simon Belmont, a name amongst name.
Is this the first time that these characters have been confirmed?
In Smash? Yes.
Okay.
And the first time they've been correct. Yeah, so if you're like me and not, like Nintendo and like Smash but don't know this deep, obviously Castlevania are the Belmont bros. Dark Samus obviously is Metroid. Then Crom is one of the 3 protagonists from Fire Emblem Awakening. And then King K. Rool is from Donkey Kong Country. He's a villain. I wouldn't have known that.
Are these, I don't know if I read you right there, are these Smash Brothers debuts for these characters?
Correct. They are.
Simon Belmont's never been in a Smash game
Correct.
Already because Castlevania is a big deal.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, but this is like, you know, Nintendo, I think, continuing that strategy of reaching out to more, you know, third-party partners and trying to get people that are associated with the Nintendo name into it. So I know people were losing their mind today.
So Simon Belmont's going to have that that chain whip thing?
Yeah. In the reveal, Luigi dies.
What?
They kill Luigi. Right? Isn't that right, Kev? I've seen the gif floating around.
No, I think he's just running
They slit his throat
around.
And like a ghost comes
he's
out of him.
They slit Luigi's throat? I don't think so.
I was trying to fix some audio issues, so I didn't watch
Come
that.
Come on, Kev. Bring it up for
what
me right now. Bring up the trailer so we can do
Luigi
it.
Death,
I haven't had, I got
Luigi
all the news,
death moment.
But I haven't seen it. Kev, I'm going to need you to scroll through while I continue to talk. You stick with me. He'll find what you need.
I'm with you.
with that news, Nintendo tweeted, Super Smash Bros. Collection amiibos of the five, that's how they wrote it, five newly announced Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Fighters, Simon Belmont, Richter Belmont, King K. Rool, Krom, and Dark Samus will be released in the future. So all of them will be getting their own amiibo in the future.
What was the Getty's reaction this morning? Because he's the Smash Brothers.
He had
fanatic.
To immediately leave this and go to the DMV. So no one's...
I thought he had to immediately leave and, like, take care of some business.
He had to go change his pants. Yeah. All right. Now, Kevin, do we haven't gotten claimed on the watch along, right? What are we looking
at here? This is like Luigi's Mansion.
So now go picture
He's
in picture.
He's got the vacuum.
This is the reaction you can get, of course, up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can see Tim in there. Kevin is going to put us picture in picture. We are going to get to the bottom of this. So there you go. We're covering Tim right there. Now just let it play, because this is where it happens, right? Well, I'm asking, are we going to get claimed? And you didn't say anything?
Oh, I don't know. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, because we already have it up, right?
And it's only
he's very scared. He's got
Luigi.
The Luigi Mansion.
I don't like this. What is
and
that?
Then he's got, that's one of those Castlevania bad guys, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And look,
poor Luigi.
Now watch. Now, you're going to tell me this motherfucker isn't dead? Slash. There's his ghost.
The ghost comes out of him.
Look, at there's blood and blue shit
his
shooting out of him.
His ghost is not in a happy place.
Tim
right
does
now.
Not look happy at all about
Tim
this.
Tim can't believe what he's seeing. The death of Luigi. We all saw it right there.
Not only did he die, I mean, it was a painful
It's
death.
Brutal. Yeah. He had time to be scared.
I mean, that's traumatic.
I mean, I'm sure there's some
that's
canon.
That's horrific.
If we keep watching, maybe Simon Belmont saves him and does it. But
is that the end of it?
What there's I no... saw today was Luigi dying. And then, of course, the Polygon tweet about my article sounded very much like I had died. And everybody's
oh,
like,
here comes
what a
Simon
day for
Belmont.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. Look at Tim. He's well, you can't see him, actually. Go watch the thing. And then there's a reveal, and it's Simon Belmont. And Tim's like, oh, my God. He's going to go, oh, my God. Holy shit. I'm Tim Geddes. You can't believe it. Sam lashes
Simon
out.
Lashes
he just
out.
Nods. He just nods. He's such a
He lost it earlier.
So what? Yeah,
oh, really? What did
yeah,
he use it for?
It's a when they like when he was like, oh shit, it's Castlevania. Like, look, he's doing the intro. He's doing the intro, and I cut in the perfect moment.
So the Luigi thing is disturbing, but that's I mean they're gonna have to figure that out because that's not the death of Luigi.
Oh no! But I think somebody put it on Twitter early. Again, I like Smash Brothers, but I'm not a super fan like Tim. That other characters have quote unquote died in trailers before for Smash Brothers introducing somebody. It's
okay,
just a cool way to do it.
It.
Not to mention, I guess you technically die in the game, right? You get thrown off cliffs and you fall to your death.
Yeah, I mean one thing we know about video games is that death is not. Permanent.
It's like comic books.
Right.
Also, the thing Tim freaked out about and nerded out about that we're big fans of it, kind of funny. One of the things they're adding as a bonus is that if you, like us, play on stock rather than, like, you know, do like, you just want to play stock live so everybody has three lives, last person with any lives wins.
Right.
You can now save that as a preference because before it was every time you turned on the goddamn system, you had to go in the rules and change it. That's going to be locked there from now on. They announced 103 stages. IGN has this little bit more information on it. Each one will be available in Omega and Battlefield forms, open for 8-player battles and can have stage hazards turned on or off. Then they announced, this is still IGN, a new stage morph option will allow for players to choose two stages before a battle with the stage transforming from one to another during the fight. Penguin Snacks writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with a few more little facts and figures, but a question. After being enthralled by the Smash Direct today, I had questions for thought. After announcing more than 60 characters, with more than 300 levels, and more than 800 soundtracks, he means music tracks, and more to come, this truly makes Smash Brothers Ultimate the most ultimate Smash ever. Could this be the last Smash Brothers for the franchise? I, for one, can't possibly see them topping such a masterpiece. I feel like this may be a true retirement for Sakurai, thus calling it Ultimate, for he himself cannot make a better game. It's an interesting question, Penguin Snacks. One, a bunch of people proposed in there. I don't think this will be the final Smash Brothers game. It is too important a franchise to Nintendo, and I don't think having the next Nintendo, whatever it's going to be, Switch 2, whatever you want to call it, and not having a Smash Brothers makes sense. However, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're calling it Smash Ultimate, and Sakurai, who's been talking about stopping and leaving the franchise forever,
it could be his ultimate game.
I think it's going to be his ultimate Smash Brothers, and then you'll come back to whatever the next Smash is will be different but similar.
That could be an emotional moment, like at the end of Star Trek VI, when all the original cast members kind of sign off on the screen, like we're done.
Yeah.
You kind of bid farewell.
I mean, you figure, well, right? This is every Smash Brothers character there's ever been, plus new Smash Brothers characters, plus new trophy assists, plus, like, they're throwing everything into this game where, yeah, I do believe this is going to be the ultimate Smash Brothers game and be the one that people play for years and years.
It will be
and
the
years.
Ultimate Smash Brothers game until the next one. Because, yes, of course, there will be a next one.
But I feel, the next one will be something different.
Smash Brothers next.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, here's the new blood for it, the new person. You know, maybe it's Tim. Maybe
look, Nintendo's been around for over 100 years. They'll be around for another 100.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, it's crazy to think that this is one of their core franchises. It's crazy to think that this could be the last one.
I don't think they'll ever walk away from it fully, but yeah, I think that they're building this up to be Zacharias.
We've seen the word "ultimate" bandied around in game titles a lot. It doesn't, that never means the end.
But like when you watch this one, when you read about it, when you look at it, it does feel like, hey, this is everything Smash Brothers has ever been.
It's got a how do you top this kind of feel to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's not. It's. I feel like it when I look at it, I don't feel them challenging the Smashes that have come before them, trying to make this the best Smash. I feel like they're trying to make the definitive Smash Brothers. Like they're trying to make the one that is honoring everything that's come before, so that there is no argument that this is the best one.
This will become the new standard for tournament play as well, do you think?
I imagine so. I mean, it's one of those we're talking out our butts right now because it's not out and it's not loose. I'm sure there's balancing and everything else.
That it's going to be as great exactly. as we all hope
we've played
it.
I know Tim likes it. None of us can wait to get our hands on it in a final version to be able to play
right,
together.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do you play Smash ever?
No, I told you. I mean, it could be an opportunity for some content for you guys. When the game comes out, sure. I want Tim to teach me how to play.
Teach me how to Dougie.
Tim really likes that idea and he's been throwing out some stuff.
Has he?
Yeah, on air.
Yeah, I'm gonna be his Padawan.
Nice, and then you'll turn on him and kill him.
Because I want to be able to play. It looks like a really fun game once it clicks.
Yeah,
but I need him to help me figure it out.
Sure.
Because to me, it's just a button mash chaos game, and there's obviously more strategy to it than that. And I want to learn. And Tim, I think, is the man to teach me.
Okay. Number two on the Roper Report, it is a follow-up to what yesterday Andrea and Tim talked to you about with IGN's Dead Cells review possibly being plagiarized. I'm going to read you the statement IGN tweeted out on Twitter. I put myself into a corner when I said statement on tweet. They tweeted out. You already knew it was Twitter. I digress. IGN's statement on Dead Cells review. We reviewed the allegations against one of our writers regarding our review of Dead Cells. After taking the time to investigate, we've determined that there were substantial similarities between a review posted weeks earlier and our review that could not be justified and warranted taking down. Though we as a community often share feelings and even certain word choices to describe the games we love by using similar frames of understanding, this particular situation stepped over the line and is not a reflection of our editorial standards. We apologize to our readers, developer Motion Twin, and most especially to the YouTuber known under Boomstick Gaming for failing to uphold these standards. We take our review process seriously. In most cases, reviewers are expected to play a game's single-player or story campaign to completion at least once, as well as spend additional time capturing gameplay to supply content to the video component of our reviews. Though our Dead Cells reviewer played the game and came away with glowing opinions of it, as did many of our other staff members, the review itself was simply not acceptable. We've parted ways with the writer involved in the review, and we will be re-reviewing Dead Cells this week. We will work tirelessly to ensure that, regardless of whether you agree with our reviews, you can have faith that every word is nothing less than genuine opinions of our critics. Nothing is more important to us than your trust. IGN, Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. How you were briefed on this situation, correct?
Yeah, I saw the statement when it came out yesterday, and I thought it was intriguing. It was the first I'd heard about it was the statement.
Sure.
So I actually went and watched the Broomstick Gaming.
Boomstick.
My apologies. Boomstick Gaming. I don't know why I read it as Broomstick.
I think Broomstick. I mean, Boomstick and Broomstick. They're right there. Maybe so he only reviews Witch's game. Usually.
I went to look at Boomstick Gaming's comparison video where he first highlighted the similarities.
Yeah.
Pretty open and shut case.
100%. 100%. And that was the thing. Of course, Philip from IGN, or formerly now of IGN, the guy who is the Nintendo editor there, of course, NVC, he's the reviewer IGN's talking about. He's no longer with the company.
Right.
And yeah, when this broke, I think we'd wrapped the meet and greet when I came back in Michigan and saw it everywhere on just already popping off and saw the video. And yeah, you went to these articles and saw like the reporting on it and see the comparisons. You're like, Yeah, that's plagiarism, it seems. You know what I mean? Like, it's similar to what IGN's statement starts with of like, right. We can use the same term, you know, it's fast and fluid, fast-paced action genre. Like, if that kind of stuff pops up, but like, sentence structure changing one or two words in there.
Where's the statement from the person actually responsible from the reviewer? Has he said anything yet?
As of this morning, he has not said anything publicly.
Statement I'm interested in hearing.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If something's broken, we'll get it to it at the end of the show, or if Kevin wants to look around. But last I saw his Twitter, last public post he put up, like that's not a reply, is hey, here's my Dead Cells review, check it out or whatever, which of course now links to this or what was an editor's note about it,
right?
And then his last reply was to me because I tweeted out that like man, I've had Dead Cells on my Switch for weeks now, but I keep not jumping into it because I know I'm gonna like it. I played it at previews, yada yada yada. Because I feel like if I do, I'll never get back to Octopath. Like I need to commit and beat Octopath, right?
Right. And I remember that tweet. Yeah. So and then what did he say?
He kind of misinterpreted what I was saying. It was like, no, you should definitely pick up Dead Cells. It's great and it's short, and you can pop back to JRP whenever you want to.
So nothing in the by the way of a response yet from the reviewer response.
Well, as of us, like before the morning show, so 10 a.m. or 9:30 probably when I was gathering up news. No, however, there's internet burns. You know how people like to give out internet burns, like yes. Where they get you. What I didn't understand for a while, because I was obviously in Battle Creek, I'm doing appearances, I'm doing this speech and shit.
Yeah.
I kept seeing people keep responding to the tweet of like, you should definitely play it.
Right.
Saying you should definitely play it. And it took me
a lot of people saying like, you should too or something.
No, people directly copying his response and responding to both of us.
Oh, that's a burn.
And I was like, that's an internet burn if I ever saw one. Yeah. Yeah. And I've also seen plenty of people like let's get in the comments and we'll go from there. All right. DMC Dog writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, when the IGN plagiarism story broke yesterday, gamers took up their pitchforks and began harshly criticizing IGN for publishing the plagiarized review. This caused the game's media to circle up on behalf of IGN and distribute some common defenses. Number one, there is no way an editor could have caught this without watching every single YouTube review of the game. Number two, IGN is not just one person and shouldn't be judged as a whole based upon the bad actions of one reviewer. And number three, IGN responded quickly and did the right thing. Basically, the audience called for IGN's head, and the game's media told them it's not IGN's fault. Even the discussion that Andrea and Tim had on the show had markedly little discussion of plagiarism and was mostly about IGN's culpability and expressing sympathy for IGN employees. My question is, despite the valid defenses of IGN's behavior surrounding the specific incident, at the end of the day, aren't they ultimately responsible for this? They hired the writer, presumably after a vetting procedure. They trained him, or should have trained him, on the ethical expectations they had for him. Their leadership forged the culture that informs how he represents the company in his writing. Yes, the reviewer was definitely in the wrong, and firing him was the correct move by IGN. But is the audience really wrong for placing significant blame for this on IGN? I would say you're not wrong, DMC Dog. There is culpability. It is IGN. I don't think there's significant blame on IGN. I think that, yeah, they hired someone who plagiarized this review. Jason Schreier put up an article yesterday finding an old FIFA review from before IGN that looked also like, hey, a lot of this seems very similar to something else that's been posted. But I don't know where it vets out, right? Like, plagiarism is bullshit, full stop, right? You know what I mean? Like, I appreciated that, like, nobody really reached out to me, like, what are your opinions on this, right? Because it's like, it's fucking bullshit and stupid. Like, why would you possibly think this is okay? Why would you do this? Why, like,
you're... How would you think you can get away with it?
Exactly. And, like, I know that I'm still, you know, like, even though I run Kinda Funny and do all this different stuff, right? I'm still ride or die IGN. They gave me everything. I still love the company and the brand and the logo means so much to me. So the fact of, like, it's insulting to me to see someone do this in the name of IGN, right? And tarnish, right. Like, especially as somebody who worked at IGN for 8 years, and I'd like to believe tried to raise that, and we're just people. We love games like you. We're not this corporate behemoth. You know, like, there's people here that matter. To see this happen, it's like, what the fuck, man? And so I don't know, like, you know, I don't know where it all nets out. And I think that you see that, you know, Tina, obviously the editor or the games editor at IGN, she's obviously, I'm assuming, one of the major people writing behind the statement, but then put out her own tweet where she quote tweeted this and was like,
yeah, yeah, and she followed up with several tweets of her own.
Today
as well.
Sucks, and yeah, we let you down, and we don't want to. I don't think IGN's trying to get away from it. They're not saying no, they
I
have
think
no
taken
responsibility.
Full ownership of it, which is to their credit.
But I do think it is that, in the grand scheme of this, right? Sure, us as readers and viewers of IGN, our trust has been betrayed by the reviewer. But think about what that's like for IGN, who, yes, vets people and talks to people and explains what they want from editors and reviewers. And you'd think at IGN, the place for video game reviews, it would be a no-brainer that, no, you don't fucking copy someone else's homework.
Right.
So they have been burned on their own. They feel like they've been burned by this. They know they've let you down, the viewer and listener and reader. And like,
yeah.
what this does, I would hope, then, is spawn, yes, a different way to look at it so it never, ever happens again.
But yeah.
I don't know how you do that in a world that, yeah, with all due respect to Boomstick Gaming, and a shout out to Boomstick Gaming, who has handled this, I think, so well. A video of like, hey, this happened, I don't know what to do.
I think it's weirdly been, strangely been good for Boomstick, because I might not have ever heard of that guy's channel, but I ended up watching that comparison video, and his Dead Cells review was great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This guy seems to know what he's talking about. I don't watch that guy's reviews.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely been, in the long run, good for him. We'll get to a question about that, about Dead Cells in particular itself. But yeah, like, he's handled it super well, and I think IGN's handled it the best they can, but
yeah.
IGN knows they're down right now. They if you go look at pretty much any IGN personality yesterday, Goldfarb, Barrett Courtney, Jonathan Dornbush, Tina, they're all there being like, today fucking sucked, but yeah. we're going to come back yeah. and do better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, is that unifying a team and figuring it out. And
it sucks for them. It sucks yeah. for them. Look, you used to work there for a long time. I've got many friends that were there. Per Schneider is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Tina's a good mm-hmm. friend of mine. And you know, Dan Stapleton. There's a bunch of people over there that I know and like. And this hurts nobody more than it hurts them, right? This tarnishes their brand.
Yeah.
This really, really sucks for them. Are IGN, as the employer, trainers, whatever, manager, this guy, ultimately responsible? Technically, yes. Do I blame them? No. You cannot be held responsible for every single crazy fucking thing that every employee might do at any given time. I want to hear the statement from the guy actually responsible.
Brought it up, but nothing was there. Nothing's been updated on his Twitter.
Where's the mea culpa from that guy?
Yeah.
Because he's ultimately responsible. I want to hear two things.
Why?
What were you thinking?
Yeah.
And why did you think, how on earth did you think in this age of social media and everybody watching everything on the internet all the time that you were possibly going to get away with it? First of all, as a writer, yes, nobody hates plagiarism more than other writers. It sucks. It's theft. It's gross. You're going to get caught. And again, as a video game reviewewer, you've pretty much, you're in that because that's your dream job, right? You've got your dream job. So why would you phone it in? If for some reason you don't feel qualified to review the game, or you don't have time, or you fucked up or whatever, tell your manager, don't cheat. I guarantee you're going to get busted. And look what happened. He got busted.
And that's the thing of, let's disassociate what a betrayal of trust this is to be at IGN, the place, right? The biggest video game reviewing site. You are the Nintendo editor, right? Like that. This would be like me plagiarizing the Uncharted 3 review, which I'm sure a lot of you would have liked me to do if it wouldn't have gotten out of 10. It's more the fact that you exist on the internet in 2018. You yeah. see every day people put stuff out and see it get torn apart and reference back and see it all get connected.
I don't know this guy, but I'm guessing he's not stupid, but he did a very stupid thing.
Yeah.
In the age of the internet, when your review is so visible and someone somewhere is going to watch, you really didn't think there was any chance of one person watching, who's really interested in Dead Cells, watching more than one review and maybe watching both of these and going, wow, that sounded really familiar.
Let him know.
He must have known there was 100% chance he was going to get caught.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely baffled by the behavior. Absolutely baffled. And I would love to, at some point, I guess if this guy's interested in salvaging anything of his career, because this has damaged him immeasurably.
Yeah.
Who hires this guy now?
Yeah.
Right? Who's the next guy to give this guy a job after this debacle?
Sure.
I just want to hear the explanation.
I would too. I feel like it sounds vulture-y to be like, you're welcome to come on and talk about it, Phil.
But I'm not like I don't feel like I'm like outside his house with a pitchfork, you know,
no,
a torch going,
no.
we're coming for your blood. I'm not angry at the guy. I'm baffled. I just want to understand
I've had so many conversations in this short period of time about it where there's this, what the fuck? And it's the thing of, it seems weird. I've had a lot of people present it and feel weird as they say it, but they feel bad for both sides. That's horrible for IGN, obviously the developer, and not, but also like, what is going on in his life that this is
we're all kind of piling on here, and there could be circumstances that we're not aware of.
Real quick, opinion. There was the thing the thing I talked about, like burns on the internet and the tweet responses. So many kind of funny best friends have gone in there and been like, "Hey, I understand being mad. Like, it's don't pile on. He's lost his job, and this is happening." The Boomstick Gaming guy who was like, you know, his response was, "I hope he doesn't lose his job," kind of thing. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, I just want credit where credit's due.
I mean, and I will say this as well. In those who have come to the defense of IGN have said that, in fairness to them, they have handled this about as well as. I mean, what more do you want, right? Mm-hmm. They've apologized. They've thrown themselves at the mercy of their audience.
Yeah.
They fired the guy. They're going to put up a new review.
Yeah.
What more can you do?
Yeah. It's weird to be still. Kevin, when do we leave IGN? We've been doing this 3.5 years now, right? 2015? Since 2015, but still feel so connected, and I still feel...
Still feels like family to you, right?
And still be angry with them. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not one of the guys of like, oh man, I feel bad for both sides.
I guarantee you, as betrayed as any IGN audience member feels, Tina and Pear and the people that work there feel more betrayed.
Tyler writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, follow up on the Dead Cells report from yesterday. Philip has only been with IGN for about a year, but the fact that one of his articles was plagiarized, that would bring into question all of his articles in review. If you were IGN, would you let any of his articles stay on the site, or would you remove them to be safe? It's probably too many reviews to spend manpower to review all the plagiarism. Thanks. Love the show.
My guess is this is probably the first offense because, again, if you do it, you're going to get caught. It's hard to believe that this guy's had a career of plagiarism is only getting busted now.
You're talking about manpower, Tyler. Think again about the internet. As soon as this happened, I'm sure lots of people on the internet started going back and sleuthing. And I think the fact that Schreier, has had a report from a fan or a reader or whatever you want to call him, saying, hey, this seems a lot like this FIFA article he wrote before he joined IGN, makes me think that people have gone through his catalog of work looking. As IGN, I'd let it stand until I heard something else, or maybe I would pull aside some people to look into it. But the problem is, think of it this way, right? How impossibly hard is that to in this day and age? Because it's not quote words in Philip and video game title and go search for it.
No, it's video. It's
he copied the Boomstick Gaming video review.
Right.
Like, where are you getting the VO script to go do that? Or you need to rely on the other creators who would have looked at this and been like, that sounds like what mine was.
I mean, I imagine that you could modify one of the algorithms that YouTube or whatever use to find copyright violations and, music that's being used without permission. And you could build like a plagiarism version of that. That would be a great tool. But again, the problem is you don't need to do that because it's crowdsourced already for you. Somebody found
this. They'll find more if there's more.
I don't know if the Boomstick the Boomstick Gaming guy that checked out IGN's review just happened to check it out, or did somebody else see it and bring it to his attention?
I watched this video, but honestly, I forget if in the intro he's like, one of my friends tipped me off for this, or if it was me.
I think so, because again, if you've got a game like Dead Cells, which is a popular game right now, you read more than one review before you make a purchase. You probably read one of the major sites, and you probably check out one of your favorite streamers or bloggers as well. So someone's done that. Again, this is what I don't understand. How it's not even just the morality of it. The morality of it is obviously deeply wrong. The stupidity of thinking that you were going to get away with it is just stunning to me.
Charlie gets the final question on this topic. He writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's up, KFGD crew? The Dead Cells review controversy is a nightmare scenario for IGN, but what about the dev/publisher? I have a friend who had not heard of Dead Cells until the stories about the review started popping up all over the place yesterday and decided to pick up the game. Do you think this kind of controversy will have a significant impact on Dead Cells' financial success or failure?
I think if anything, it can only be good for them. It raises the profile of the game.
It will 100% have a positive effect for them.
Yeah.
In the way that Dead Cells, I mean, I've been talking about it since I played it at PAX East, right? Yeah, I was saying, oh my God, this game was great. I know since Brian Altano played it, he's been saying, oh my God, this game is great. Universally, the critics are saying, oh my God, this game's great. That could have been a moment in time where the reviews posted. Everybody's like, stoked. You guys bought it, talked about it in small groups. The fact that you're still talking about it. Think about the eyes that will be on IGN's second review of this game, where they go in and like want to see how they phrase it in the intro, what they talk about in the thing. Like,
yeah.
This game has way more eyeballs on it
it'll
than it should
good.
Have.
Yeah, it'll be good for the game. The developers are happy about this.
Yeah.
I already knew about it because Patrick Klepek's been tweeting about it a lot. He's been playing it.
Well, he's amazing at it. That's what I keep seeing.
He's really good. Yeah,
I think he's just bragging
because he's clocking it early.
I know, right?
But had Patrick not tweeted about it, this would have been my first exposure to it. It's ultimately good for the game, and I think mostly, again, even though he was the primary victim, ultimately good for Boomstick Gaming, because I told you, I watched his comparison video, and what I came away from, two takeaways. Okay, that's definitely the plagiarism accusation is rock solid, and this guy shouldn't have done it. But also, hey, this guy Boomstick Gaming seems to know his stuff. That was a pretty solid review. Maybe I'll check this guy's side out.
Exactly, yeah, definitely.
So it's good for the victims.
Yeah.
Not good for the perpetrators. So in a way, I guess... Justice? Some kind of justice has been done?
Yes, that's justice. Credits roll. Executive producer, Dick Wolf. That's a SVU reference. If you don't watch SVU, you should. It's awesome. Number three on the Roper Report. There's a Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay trailer coming tomorrow. They tweeted, watch the Red Dead Redemption 2 official gameplay video this Thursday, August 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern on RockstarGames.com and the official Rockstar Games YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch channels. Gary, you're not watching it.
This puts me in a difficult position, Greg.
Lay it on me.
Well, I told myself that I wasn't going to watch the gameplay video. I like the cinematic videos, and both all the trailers so far have been cinematic.
Yeah.
The gameplay video, I had not planned to watch, and still currently don't plan to watch it. Although I think I might—I don't know if I have to or not because I'm going on Red Dead Radio with Jared tomorrow.
You have to if you're on the Red Dead Radio recorded the day of the gameplay drop.
That's going
to
be obviously the main because Jared. Before I saw it, Jared was saying, "Oh, tomorrow's Red Dead Radio is going to be epic." I said, "Oh, that's very nice, Jared, because I'm your guest. Thank you very much." Turns out it was because the gameplay video is dropping. And that's why. But okay, but let me ask you this. Can I not go on there and have my whole hot take be built on the premise of I didn't watch the trailer because that's how I'm preserving my experience of the game. I don't
want to
watch it.
But then he's going to talk about it, so you're going to hear about it no matter what.
I guess I just have to bite the bullet on this one.
Yeah, you can't walk off set on that one. You know what I mean?
Or just stiff him and drop out of the podcast. I'm not going to do that. No, I guess I have to watch it. I just hope it doesn't give away. I trust Rockstar to not give away anything too significant.
No, it's just, I mean, it's going to be in mechanics and how
this works. It's going to be a guy on a horse from behind trotting around.
And there'll be VO over it. Like, I thought you were gone. I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back. It's going to be, there's not going to be anything too shocking, I hope, too shockingly surprising, because I do want to preserve as much of the experience for myself as possible.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. We got
you're going to be watching it the second it drops?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I don't have to anymore. In the old days, like IGN, yeah, we would.
I'm excited to see what next-gen Red Dead, because I imagine the video they're going to put up is like either running on a
Xbox One X or Pro.
Right, or PS4 Pro, because it's going to be like 4K, high.
Sure.
High-end performance.
Ooh-wee.
I'm so excited.
Number four, PlayStation 4 is killing it, and they're putting up their production. PlayStation 4 is killing it. Sony is increasing their projections on how many it's going to sell. This is from Giuseppe Nevola at Dual Shockers. Giuseppe writes, Sony announced its financial results for the first quarter of fiscal year 2018, which is related to the period between April 1st and June 30th, 2018. As usual, we get an update on the number of PlayStation 4 units shipped during the quarter. 3.2 million consoles have found their ways to retailers around the world. That brings the grand total of the shipped units up to 82.2 million units by June 2018. It was at 79 million 3 months ago. Kevin, if we had the chalkboard wall, this is where I'd ask you to go update the stat and put 82.2 million.
Sucks, man.
I fucking hate Nick. It's worth mentioning that PS4 shipments in the quarter have decreased by 100,000 units year on year, which is understandable given the platform's maturity. Now stick with this. I'm jumping ahead in the Dual Shockers article. We also get the forecast for the full fiscal year for the Game and Network Services segment, which combines PlayStation and PlayStation Network. Interestingly, the prediction for shipments of PlayStation 4 units has been increased to 17 million units from the previous 16 million forecast disclosed 3 months ago. This would bring the grand total to 96 million units shipped by March 2019. That's a lot of units.
I never put too much stock in the number of shipped units.
Sure.
Because, you know, shipped units just means they're sitting on a store
shelf.
Walmart
has them. Amazon's got them
in a
warehouse.
Until someone actually buys them, Sony's not getting any money.
But they're not going to ship them just to ship them.
Well, no, that's right. And that was going to be my next part. At least it's some kind of indicator because Sony's looking at what they sold in the last quarter, the quarter before, and basing that, using that as the basis for like how many they ship next quarter. So they are confident that they're going to sell most of these units.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, they're just losing money building them.
Yeah, 100%.
And shipping them.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very positive numbers for Sony. PS4 is still going really strong.
Kevin Coella from kindoffunny.com's press pool. What did you say there?
I didn't realize that's how it worked.
Which part?
The stores aren't buying them at like a wholesale rate.
No, they'll get shipped.
If they don't sell them, they're going to get shipped back.
So oh,
the,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Do the stores
the store's not stuck with them. Walmart's not stuck with PS4s
that they
can't
just
sell.
Bought them in bulk, and like that's why things go on sale at ridiculous prices. Right?
I thought so too. Wait, you're saying they can ship them back?
I mean, you think that Walmart just buys all those PlayStations from Sony?
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that how sales work? I don't know.
So what do they do? What do they do with the ones they can't sell?
Fucking slash the prices and then dump the rest in the ocean.
Just dump them in the ocean. When's the last time you saw a PS4 like a deep or any console like a super deep discount because the retailer couldn't move it?
Well, that I mean, I remember I've seen PS2s on way late in Walmart shelves for no reason at a deep discount.
Well, right, you know, I'm not Michael Pachter. I'm not an expert on this. I may be wrong, but I feel like my guess is that if Walmart or Target or whatever take a certain number of orders from. Bear in mind, they base their orders on what they think they can sell as well, because that is taking up shelf space for them. That's store, that's premium space in their store that they could be using to sell something else, if not a PlayStation or an Xbox or a lawnmower or whatever.
Sounds like a great place for your wrong.
So they're already.
I know this is a great your wrong thing.
This is a good. Someone in retail is gonna.
And not only that, I'm sure there's people in retail who can know, and our fans can know. I know a lot of people at PlayStation and Xbox watch this. Oh, and at retailers, I won't say names. So if you want to and you have my number, you can text me too as well.
I do remember and going into when there was still a GameStop by here recently.
Yeah.
They had one.
Wait, there used to be a GameStop around here?
Yeah, and Lakeshore.
Oh, really?
It's not there anymore. Used to be next to the Oh No Hawaiian Barbecue.
Oh, that, okay. Still there. Now I know what you're talking about. Oh, that one's still there?
Is it still there? Oh, I thought it closed.
No, Ono's still there. Oh, yes, no. The Hawaiian Barbecue place.
No, if Ono closed down, there would be a serious problem.
Yeah.
Because I love my chicken katsu.
Oh, they love it over here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
The macaroni salad and the rice.
Good.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah, I remember they were desperate to move the last Nintendo Switch that they had, because I think the guys like bonus depended on it or something. But whether or not they could have shipped it back, I don't know. Someone in, well, I think it flooded by
someone
people
in this industry and you've and got or
plenty
you're
of people
wrong,
that work
what?
In retail that will be able to set us straight on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, then they're sold through, which means that's the number it's actually
they
sold
would be
to people.
They would be saying that they have sold them already. Right?
Yeah,
if shipped and sold were two different things.
Why would you argue?
Right. Yeah. They would just say, no, we sold it. With Walmart's problem now, they wouldn't
through.
Be saying that.
Yeah. You must be right. Must be right.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going to get, yeah.
Number five on the Roper Report. Mega Evolutions are coming to Pokemon Go. No, Pokemon Let's Go. This is via Colin Stevens at IGN.com. It looks like the popular Mega Evolutions introduced in Pokemon X and Y are making their way to Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. This news comes from a Pokemon fan site, Cerebi, which scanned pages from the latest issue of the Japanese gaming magazine, Koro. The scans show off Mega Evolutions for the final evolutions of all three first-generation starter Pokemon, Mega Charizard, both the X and Y variants, Mega Blastoid, and Mega Venusaur. The fucking Pokemons. You got some Pokemons. You got anything to say about this?
My kid's really into Pokemon. I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest.
Are you excited to give them the... Oh, yeah, see, I thought it was going to be fucking exciting. I thought it was going to be somebody's Danny Mac. Are you going to let her play Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu?
What is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu?
That's the new Nintendo Switch game that ties into Pokemon Go. But it's like you're still wandering around and doing the Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she's gonna
play it regardless.
Sure.
Does she play Pokemon Go now?
She did for a while, but then the spell broke.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting then. Has she heard about Ghostbusters World? Because let me tell you. Number six, Fortnite is going to be adding your controlling grouping. Stick with me. This is a Reddit comment from the folks over at Epic. We're actually working on some matchmaking tech on the way that'll pair you against folks based on your choice of peripherals. More info on this coming next week. But TLDR, if you're on keyboard and mouse, you'll be against keyboard and mouse. Somebody, I saw it making the rounds yesterday, or actually I just saw it on the Fortnite subreddit, I guess, where they were like, oh, hey, Fortnite's like, hey, you know, mouse and keyboard support's back on PS4, and some guy being like, that should not happen on PS4. It should just be controllers only.
Okay.
And that got tweeted around and got kind of popular, so I think that's just
I've been trying to understand Fortnite a bit better. I watched some Twitch streamers. I was watching Dr. Disrespect play some Fortnite yesterday. Couldn't get into it. I don't get it.
Play the He's game. Like throwing play with up- us.
I
bring your Switch. Bring your Switch and over, and we'll just play it. Yeah, bring it over.
I don't understand.
Friday's like a pretty clear afternoon.
I don't understand
on.
All the kind of the building on the run aspect of it.
Oh, I never do that.
Here's what it is. You know, need cover, build it.
Okay.
And then build a fort when you want to hole up and fight people.
Okay.
Think of it that way. Wrap your head around that way. Got it?
I think I'm just always going to be more of a PUBG guy.
You probably will be. Yeah.
It's, you know, that's.
But that's what Kevin used to say, and then he came over.
Just play it as if you were playing PUBG. Don't ever build.
Can you do that? Am I not putting myself at a disadvantage if I do that?
Yeah, sure, 100%. But like, I mean, are you winning a lot of PUBG? You know what I mean?
I don't win a lot of PUBG.
There you go. Come play with us. We'll
if
say
you
it straight.
With Greg, right. you'll get a couple wins.
Gary, I'm excited to see what you think of Fortnite. But when you bring your Switch over, that's still so far away. If I wanted to know what was in mom and grop shops today for video games, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed. Excuse me, by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Megaton Rainfall on Xbox One. That's right. A PlayStation VR game is coming to Xbox One. You can go to Kind of Funny com, or more directly youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, watch the PlayStation VR show about Megaton Rainfall. It involves a great bit with Portillo in a Superman costume. Tetra's Escape is on Xbox One, and Unavowed is on PC.
Another quiet day.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, Wednesdays usually. Tuesday drop. You got the big Thursday drop. You're here for the scraps.
I know.
Wednesday.
I never get to come. Every now and again, I remember last week or the week before, I switched with Jared.
Yeah,
you came and in. And I came in on a Thursday. Games, and suddenly, yeah. Oh my God, I didn't realize as many games came out
exactly.
on any one day.
Exactly.
I just come in on the quietest day of the week.
It's good, though. It's good for our pace. You know
what
I mean?
More time for me to talk.
When we talk, I feel like when we do the show, it's very much you and me on the country porch in our rocking chairs just talking about the video game world passing us by.
I like that.
Yeah. Kevin, get some rocking chairs for Widow Wednesdays. New dates! On August 20th, God of War is getting New Game Plus. This comes with along with a host of new gear, more difficult enemies, and cinematic skipping. So enjoy that.
It's a boon for God of War fans.
Yeah, no word on trophies that I saw as of press time. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I saw somebody.
Is that something that typically happens? They'll add more trophies with updates?
Yes, no. Some people do. Horizon did it, I think, when they added their New Game Plus and stuff. Okay. It's just a... it's a cool idea of why to get you back in. Like God of War, like I loved God of War, right? Still my game of the year at the moment. And I played it and I'm done with it, right? It sucks that photo mode came late and it sucks that this came late. And if there's not really a motivating factor to go back, why would I? Not that I have time to go back. I got a million other things to play.
Well, I mean,
Valkyria Chronicles demo's out. I mean, are you fucking kidding
me?
Progress
carries
over.
New gear and more difficult enemies seems to be the reason to go back. Just got to have the bright, shiny objects
gotta
at
have
the
it.
End.
Got
to
have it.
The trophy.
You see those two? You see those two Super Destroy Knot trophies I got? Two platinums.
What
took
did you
me
get?
About 15 minutes apiece.
What did you get?
Super Destroy Knot.
Super Destroy?
Knot. Yeah, Super Destroy Knot.
I don't know that.
It's not many people do. It's just a game that you buy once and you can get it on your PS4 and your Vita. And then you can get platinums on both of those. And you can get the platinum.
So the, oh, this is another
minutes.
Game that you bought just to get the trophies?
100%.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop giving you. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
But I've decided I'm going to stop calling you on it. Because whatever makes you
We're
happy.
Bros. Exactly. Whatever makes you happy. Cheryl Crow. That's why they call me champ.
He grinded me down.
Deals of the day. Day for you. Guess what? This is a weird deal today, but I'm putting it in there. The ID at Xbox pre-PAX open house is happening again. I'm reading from the News Wire. You can go there for the click on it. For the fifth year in a row, ID at Xbox is hosting a pre-PAX open house on the Microsoft campus. You can register on the site. I was just talking about, you know, go to the Xbox News Wire. It's there to start your PAX party a day early. This event has become a favorite tradition for our team. We love inviting everyone to spend time on our home turf and enjoy some of the most exciting new ID at Xbox games. We hope you'll join us on August 30th, the Thursday before PAX, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. to play games, meet the wonderful developers who made them, and maybe even win a prize in our raffle. I've gone to it. I think it's awesome that they open their campus to Xbox fans or just video game fans to come through.
Nice campus, too.
Yeah. Oh, very nice campus.
Nice place
yeah.
to visit.
Go there, try to find Nate Ahern. That's your mission.
All right.
You have to go past doors that say don't pass this door, but I believe in you. Just like I believe.
Don't tell the kids to do that.
No one's really going to do it, Nate Hyde.
Yeah,
they're coming for you.
Yeah, but if someone does it.
If somebody does it, you know what? I was just joking. Everybody knows it. Or was I? Find Nate. Say hi for me. Nate, if you want to make it easy on him, just go to the ID at Xbox event. It's super simple. You know what I mean? Why are you a coward, Nate? It's time for reader mail. Yes, this is a packed show. I know, almost 50 minutes in. But first, I'm going to tell you about our two sponsors. Number one is Third Love, the bra for the modern woman. Now, you might say, Gary, what do you clowns know about bras? When they approached us for this, they gave gift certificates to all of us for our wives and girlfriends so that they could try it on and do it. So I know Tim read a good one here. I'm going to jump in right now. Tim's girl, Gia, has the following to say. Gia loves the convertible bra you can take the straps off of and loves how chic and simple they are. She also loves that they come in half sizes, so it fits better than normal. Her two friends have been using them for a long time now and love them. They say they are very comfortable and own the nude one that is super nice that don't show, come on Tim, don't show lines when you are wearing a shirt. One of her friends has a black lacy one that is sexy that guys like. Thank you, Tim, for this report on Gia. Joey, you ran into the room. Are you using a Third Love one?
I am.
Oh, wait, the mic's off.
Oh, gosh, God damn it, Kevin.
How am I supposed to know?
How's your mic always on? And you hear me say something to Joey?
What?
Yeah. What? Go ahead.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I got mine today. I'm wearing it right now. Super comfortable.
Okay.
Those memory foam cups, super squishy. Very comfortable.
Okay.
The straps don't dig in. The colors are really great. and I like them very much.
All right, find your perfect fit. They have Third Love Designs as bras with breast size and shape in mind, so they fit impeccably and feel even better. The most sizes of any brand. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. You go there, they have a fit finder quiz to find the perfect fit. They have all the sizes you need, cups from A to H, bands up to 48. Like we said, comfort and quality, and a fit guarantee. If you don't like it, the returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a better bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's Third Love, spell out third, .com/games for 15% off now.
Never thought I'd see the day when advertising bras on here. It speaks to how much your audience diverse must be growing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing is I think when it came around, I was like, oh man. And then it was like, wait, that's an awesome thing. I love that the kind of funny best friends, the kind of honeys out there are a diverse enough group, right? That we can do that. We can diversify that way. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to bras. Shout out to breasts. Next up. Hold on. Speaking of breasts, Gregway, let me tell you about a deal from Omaha Steaks. Get some chicken breasts. See what I'm doing there? Omaha Steaks, guys. What can I say? I love it. My dad loves it. Gary Whittle loves it.
This
Kevin
is
loves
I'm
it.
Interested
Andrea
in.
Likes it. Everybody loves it. We cook it here. We have a good time. It's better than, I guess, not eating because you just, you know, you go to omahasteaks.com, you pick the package, they send it to you in a big old cooler, you put it in your freezer, you cook it right away, you get a great meal. Why wouldn't you do this? We love it. Let's talk about this right now. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and you get this Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection for just $39.99. That's 80% off. Here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 1 Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Again, if you didn't watch Cooking with Greggy, I have a great easy steak recipe on there. Go there. Use this. It's perfect. Again, this is a limited time package for only $39.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com.
That is a lot for $40, isn't it?
I know. Andrew did the math. It's insane.
Like just the steaks alone would probably be $40.
Exactly.
Store.
You'd be a fool and you'd have to go outside. You can do this without putting on a shirt because you're wearing the bra from the last ad. Type KF Games in the search bar. Add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You'll want to get this offer in time for summer. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar. Grab your friends. Fire up the grill. Reader mail. And I want to say we've incorporated a lot of reader mails in here. So hold on now. You know, like I put it on there, like maybe we'd be there on the show. I don't think we're there for that one. Yeah, we talk about that a lot too. I mentioned this earlier. Space Ghost writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFG. I believe
surely.
It is the Space Ghost. Says, hello, gruesome Greggy and gallant Gary. I wanted to write in and see if either of you had time to check out the Valkyria Chronicles 4 demo that released on Switch. I wanted to see how it played on the Switch, and I gotta say, I was impressed. If you haven't checked it out yet, do either of you plan to? P.S. Greg, don't kid yourself. We know you don't platinum Sega games anymore. At this point, Gary is beating you to the Persona 5 Platinum. Cheers, Space Ghost.
Are you a Valkyria Chronicles person?
Gary, I'm such a Valkyria Chronicles person. I am so fucking insanely excited that it's back, that it's on Switch, that it's on everything so everybody can just play it, that it's a real Valkyria Chronicles game, that it's not like the Azure one that came out.
Am I thinking of the right franchise? It's like a strategy game, right?
Yeah. Turn-based strategy. Yeah. It's got like that awesome like watercolor style.
I played it on PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, it originally launched on PlayStation 3 back in the day.
Yeah.
And then it's come to a million other platforms. The demo dropped yesterday. Okay. I was in the air.
You were coming back from Michigan.
Exactly.
Right.
So I was playing Octopath, full stop. I'm going to download Valkyria, the demo, to play as we get closer to it. But the thing about it is, I've already played the demo at Judges Week. This is one of the ones I got to jump into and play.
Okay.
So I can already tell you, chef kiss, it is Valkyria Chronicles. It is perfect. I am so excited. However, I've kind of slept on it. You know what I mean? I've been so hung up on, Spider-Man, less than a month now. Oh, Spider-Man's
coming. Close.
Oh, Overcooked's here.
Did you order the red PlayStation for yourself?
I did order the red PlayStation for myself. I had to at this point. But all that had gotten so big, I had forgotten that September is also Valkyria Chronicles 4, which now I feel gives me a very hard deadline to be done with Octopath Traveler.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be playing too crazy.
Is that your main game right now?
Well, yeah. No, it is.
Should I play Octopath Traveler?
What are your thoughts on JRPGs?
I mean, I like Persona 5.
Right. What about Persona 5?
But I've never played like Earthbound or Chrono Trigger or any of the games it seems to be kind of more...
Now, here's my thing.
The spiritual successor to.
Here's my thing. Neither really had I.
Okay.
I when I was growing up, I did not play them. I don't have a soft spot for JRPGs on the SNES or anything like that. I got into this because I feel like it's that style of an SNES JRPG merged with like more modern storytelling and this. And like I'm having a ball with it for as much as I travel, especially. It would work for you because it's a great game. This is what Patrick Klepek was telling me on Twitter the other day, that it's a great game to just sit there while something's on the TV, right? Because there is a lot of grinding to it and you're just reading stuff and you can take it at your time and your own leisure and stuff.
But you think it's entry level friendly for someone that hasn't played a lot of JRPGs?
I do think it is. Yeah. So I think, it's really easy to... equipped and unequipped stuff, like buy a great set of armor and then take it off the one person you're using and put it on the next person in your party or whatever you need to
Story
do.
Good?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. There's eight of them. So I think...
Because eight different characters,
right? A couple of them, I think, are like, wow, your Primrose's motivations, this is fucking awesome. The, what's his name? The apothecary who's just like, I want to help people. I'm like, well, I don't really care about yours. Like, you just want to wander around. Maybe chapters 2, 3, and 4 will get better for him, but whatever.
Okay.
It's good, though. Okay. I think you should try it out. Valkyria Chronicles is great. Love the way it plays. Going to play it on Switch for sure. I'm giving up the dream of... I'm never going to platinum it on PS4. So I will do that. Especially just the amount of time I've put into Fortnite and Octopath on my Switch pretty much shows that.
Do you have a hard time playing games on Switch given that there's no trophies or achievements?
Not anymore. You know what I mean? I think it's...
Do you care about achievements on Xbox? Is it just trophies?
It's just trophies. Yeah, that's the ecosystem I got involved in.
Okay.
But that always is the thing. If I'm going to make an honest effort to platinum it, I'm going to play it on PlayStation 1. Knock out any trophies.
It really is another example of just how iconoclastic Nintendo are, that they never jumped on that train, right?
No, they're like, fuck you guys.
Microsoft created the achievement.
We don't want it. Yeah.
And it was hugely successful. PlayStation copied it. Steam copied it. Nintendo said, we don't need it.
Yeah.
They never did it.
What are you going to do?
I mean, just keep on being Nintendo.
Kristen writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Kinda Funny hosts. We Happy Few was released in 2 days' time, which is shocking to me since I didn't even know it was being released this year and the game seems to have zero buzz. My question is, why isn't Microsoft promoting the hell out of this game? During E3, we learned that Microsoft had bought the game's developer, Compulsion Games, and even though We Happy Few will be available on all platforms, if it sells well and a sequel is made, that will only be available on Xbox. Fans of the game who played it on PlayStation 4 would then maybe have a little more incentive to buy it on the next Microsoft console. I'd love to know your thoughts and whether you guys are hyped for We Happy Few.
There was buzz, right? And then, but it felt like it kind of came and went.
We Happy Few's buzz was years ago, because maybe it's more apt to say shows ago. Maybe it hasn't been.
Yeah, do you think it's a victim of spending too long?
It came out a long time, and it did the thing of we're in early access, and people like jumped in, and it was like, oh, this wasn't exactly what I expected, and I don't know what it is. Then they pulled back, and like what they've done and what they're releasing now as they come out of early access and put it everywhere is like, we have a story, and it is this thing. Played it at Judges Week. I thought it was really fun and interesting. A lot of great environmental storytelling in there. I've talked about it on the shows before. I think the hang up here, Kristen, is that yes, Microsoft, you know, announced that they're buying Compulsion, right? However, this is under Gearbox Publishing. I saw it at the Gearbox Publishing event at Judges Week, which I think then is right there why you're not seeing Microsoft promote it, because they don't want to dedicate their budget to it. They want to promote whatever game they put out later with these guys. They want to promote them at that point. Right now, how much money they make for Gearbox doesn't help Microsoft. That's on Gearbox Publishing to make it be a thing. I feel that's the disconnect.
I remember I was browsing the Microsoft store the other day and I saw We Happy Few as a game coming out soon. I remember thinking, like, didn't that come out already? You know, it kind of felt like that.
This is the problem. When you do this early access stuff, especially when you announce a game and have buzz, when you then do early access and it's like a mixed review to it or not even, it's like, it's so hard to get that back. You need to build and bah, here's our day, here's our game, let's go.
Tell you what caught my eye as I was browsing the Microsoft store the other day in the upcoming roster.
Sure.
Shenmue 1 and Shenmue 2.
Oh, yeah?
For Xbox One.
You're getting on that? You're going to find some sailors?
I want to drive that forklift around.
All right.
Could be for me.
All right.
Were you a Shenmue guy when that was a thing?
I was not, no. I was a Sega guy, so that's the thing. I need to look
really?
Into
it. Really? You were a Sega guy, but you were not into Shenmue?
Well, because it was Dreamcast, right?
Yeah.
That was my problem, is I was so burned by my Saturn that I was like, fuck you into oblivion.
Oh, we talked about this before. You had the worst Sega experience, right? Because you got burned by a crappy console.
I did Master System. I did Genesis.
Right before one of the best Sega consoles came out.
And then when they got to there, I was like,
oh, you poor bastard.
Fool me once, Sega, I said. And I walked away.
Oh,
but now they make Valkyria.
You missed out on the Dreamcast, one of the all-time great consoles?
Oh, I played it at Target. I played Crazy Taxi over at Target. Don't worry. Oh. I saw it. And I played Choo Choo Rocket at IGN.
I had the fishing rod. I had it all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
I had a friend who, throughout college, would only play the Sega 2K
I remember when Dreamcast I first game. Saw 2K Football, NBA. Which is one of the launch titles on Dreamcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking that was one of the first consoles, the first time that felt like truly next gen. I was like, holy shit, this looked good.
First person inside the helmet.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And I remember they sell it for $20 or whatever. The VMUs,
which ended up being kind of dopey, sure, but I remember thinking, like, this feels like
goofy ideas. Yeah, but it was cool.
Yeah. So you never played Seaman or any of that stuff?
I played it way later. You know what I mean? I played that stuff way later, like IGN or whatever, friends' houses, but I never had it on
Dreamcast.
My own.
I was so happy about it. One of my favorite consoles of all time.
Well, it's dead now.
It's never not in my heart. I think I still have mine somewhere.
Everybody does. Everybody still got a Dreamcast tucked away in some box. It's time to squat up.
Crazy Taxi was great.
Crazy Taxi was amazing, but then I had it on PlayStation 2 and I was happy.
Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, take me to Pizza Hut. Nothing changes because it's all the same.
So great.
Oh, so God, good.
I loved that game. That game was amazing. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has good times together. Today, Jordan needs help. He says he needs help on Switch, but then his description is incredibly long, so I'm actually thinking he might not. We're going to start with the description. Hey, Kinda Funny crew. I've been rather blessed to find an awesome gaming cafe here in Wichita, Kansas. However, they play mostly PC games, and I need some couch co-op help with a Switch game that no one there plays. I need help on Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. I've already accomplished so much, but I need a best friend to help me with some of the more grueling quests, such as getting all the Skulltulas on hard mode in Legendary. Since the game can't be played online, it does need to be couch co-op. The best way to get a hold of me is this email, which is jokerv21@yahoo.com. Parentheses, not afraid of trolls, just spamming this email, by the way. Parentheses. I think you're going to be fine. I don't think we got trolls in the best friends community. Or come down to Next Level Cafe in Wichita, which is on Harry between Oliver and Hillside on the north side of the street, since that's the only place I feel comfortable with gaming in public. Just ask for Jordan, the crazy Uber driver that puts on Kind of Funny podcast on a stereo while working. Someone will know who you're talking about if I'm not there.
So get an IRL squad up.
I love it. Everybody go find Jordan here at... I lost it already.
He did put his friend Next code in as well.
Yeah, but I'm not going to read that out. He says it has to be couch co-op.
And,
so
friend codes suck. It sucks. When is Nintendo going to fix friend codes?
Never. They're never going to.
I want to hear back from this guy in a few weeks if anyone actually showed up at this gaming cafe in Wichita, Kansas.
Jordan, you have homework. Next Level.
Report back.
Next Level Cafe. Wichita, Kansas.
This is a real test of the power of the best friend community.
It is. Are you guys going to do it? Are you going to go to Wichita, Kansas?
Are you
going to
step up or are you going to make Greg look like a chump?
Don't make me look like a chump. There's a Polygon article about me. I don't want a follow-up that's like, by the way, it was all fake.
I know.
He's a chump.
Yeah.
JokerV21@yahoo.com. Then we have a required reading. I saw this yesterday, started reading
The Riot Games
it's
thing?
Very lengthy, and then there were a lot of questions about it today, but I wasn't briefed enough to do it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, for homework, everybody go read Inside the Culture of Sexism at Riot Games over at Kotaku.com. This is a Cecilia one. Inside the Culture of Sexism at Riot Games. You all had a lot of questions. I want to read them and actually have a conversation with you, but I wasn't prepared today. I'm sorry because of the travel. However, what was interesting too, tomorrow's host, Tam Armstrong, the studio director from Polyarc, the people who made Moss. He's coming in to do the show with me, so I think he might have a perspective on it in terms of what their culture's like. I'm sure he won't talk shit about Riot. I don't know if he knows anything about it. But in terms
of smaller studio.
Sure.
I mean, Riot is, I don't know if you've ever been to Riot's offices.
Big.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody required reading is Kotaku, Inside the Culture of Sexism at Riot Games, and we'll go from there. Gary, we ask everybody watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Yeah, let's see what's up.
As you know, we asked a big question, of course, about
sell through.
Yeah, like can you return that? And then we think we can, but
I
who knows?
My guess is that I don't work in wholesale, but my guess is that you can return them. Because again, otherwise Sony would just say, hey, Walmart's problem now. They bought them off us. We sold them. What do you got?
I'm looking. Somebody starts with something I don't understand the reference to. Toasty Baguette says that over in Europe, there's a Smash Brothers Ultimate Limited Edition that's been revealed. It includes a GameCube controller and adapter. Ooh. No plans have been announced for outside the PAL regions.
Is there, I forgive me if we've talked about this before and I've forgotten, but is there? Will you be able to use the GameCube controller on Smash Ultimate?
They have confirmed that, yes.
Okay. Wavebird?
Yeah, I would assume so. You could use the adapter before.
In,
you
right?
plug
in
the adapter, yeah. That's not fun.
Would be a good time for them to release a special edition GameCube controller for the Switch and not just ask people to dig out their old ones.
Yeah. Eth Demon, maybe Earth Demon, but he left out the R, says stores buy units. If they can't sell them, they send them back and get credit on future orders.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
But then they still made the money, right?
No. So if it gets sent back, Sony doesn't make any money.
Well, they get credits on future orders.
Right, but that's the... I mean, that's as good as...
Edgar Ram writes in and says another new date, Doom, is going to be added to Xbox Game Pass this Friday, 8/10. There you go. Okay, good to know.
What is going to be added?
Doom.
Oh, okay.
Frank says he's a field consultant. Too long, didn't read. It depends on the item, and in the case of consoles, they would be able to return the unsold ones to the manufacturer. Okay, yeah, cool.
There you go. That's why there's such a distinction between shipped and sold through. Sold through means they actually got one into the hands of a gamer. That's what matters. Because, again, they don't make a lot of money on the hardware. They make money on the long tail of selling you the games afterwards and getting you into their ecosystem. That's why they often sell these systems, you know, at break-even or even at a loss at launch.
Greg writes in, the other Greg, not me, and says, not cool Greg either, your demo progress on Valkyria Chronicles 4 will carry over. I'm aware of that. I don't understand. Did I not make that clear?
I don't think that came
up. He says you might as well get it over with. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. I hate starting a game. Oh, I'm going to play a couple hours of this game. Great. And then
I do like
take my time off.
But it's the kind of game that you don't want to replay the first couple of hours of demo progress.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, okay. Lord of Pwn says Alfin, or is Alf as we know him, and is the apothecary. Correct. Thank you very much. And then Zaire says, Greg, there are still games being released on the Dreamcast by indie developers. Those indie developers don't like
money.
There
are still games being released for the Commodore 64.
Clown
and
shoes.
The ZX Spectrum by indie developers. I love it. The formats that people truly love will never die.
Kind of like YouTube. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of gaming platforms and things like that. I'm Rusty. You can watch us talk about games and all the video game sun and all that jazz. Yeah, it all fell off there. Because I started.
Yeah, you are a little rusty.
I started to say
you've been away from the chat.
It's been
too
a week
long.
And a half, man, since I did any of these intros or outros. If you like that, please. Like the show. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you so much for your support. Be part of it for tomorrow's show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, when Tam from Polyarc joins me. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.